From Los Angeles, California, this is the Writer's Strike Chronicles, and I'm Tanya Barnes. Hello, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 30th, 2008, day 88 of the Writer's Strike. In today's episode, I head out to represent as a proud member of SAG at the WGA SAG Unity picketing event in front of Fox Studios. Here, I talk to Alan Rosenberg, the president of SAG, and Valerie Harper, who sits on the board of directors. Following their interviews, we'll hear speeches made by Alan Rosenberg, Zachary Quinto from Heroes, Susanna Grant, who's also on the negotiating committee for the WGA, Susan Savage from SAG, who organized the rally, actor Larry Miller, and Anne-Marie Johnson, vice president of SAG. I want to point out that in many of the recordings made in this series, they were done right in front of the freaking water fountain that's situated in front of the Fox Gate. So that's what you're hearing in the background, and I apologize for that. Anyway, before we begin, a couple of news and notes. First up is an email I received from Jesse, who wrote to me on MySpace saying, "Hey Tanya, hope you're having fun out on the line. I just wanted to say that the episode where you followed Asterios Kokonos to the comic book store was probably the best episode you've done so far. Asterios is a fun character, and through him, we're introduced to comic books, which strangely relate to the strike, and how the strike has impacted him personally. Keep up the good work, and good luck finding another Asterios. You may find my younger brother, who just moved to LA, out on the lines. If so, be sure to extract some audio bites from him. Peace, Jesse." Well, thanks, Jesse. I will most definitely be on the lookout for your brother, but be sure to have him looking out for me as well. Also, I'm sure Asterios is probably listening to this, and I have to agree with you. He is a lot of fun, and despite the seriousness of the strike and the hardships he's endured on behalf of the writers in losing his job, it really sucks because Asterios is such an awesome guy. Okay, here's another follow-up email I received from Corey in Toronto, who wrote in to say, "Hey Tanya, thanks for reading my email when I got to work and was listening to your podcast. Only to hear you talk to me through my headphones, I must say it gave me goosebumps. Responses like yours to my email are why I like podcasts. It's great when content producers are actually available to their listeners. In regards to my last email, I think your modification of the printing press question is the way to go. You summed it up quite perfectly comparing it to the wheel on the car. Once you asked if I could create a different question that could be asked, I first thought, well, that's great of her to give me a chance to think of a question that will make the writers go, good question. Though once I began thinking of a question, I realized that there really isn't anything, at least that I can think of, that could throw the writers' brains off quite like the way the printing press question does. I just heard you ask the new version of the question, and I liked how they answered it. It really made them think this time. And Tanya, my response, legacy notwithstanding, the internet is more significant. I think the future is going to be on-demand content from the internet. Sure, the content as we know it today may not exist without the printing press, but the future is going to see all of this content distributed over the internet. Once again, I love the new modification to the question. I'm sure it'll shake up the people you interview. Keep up the good work. Corey from Toronto. P.S. I know I'm Canadian, but let's face it, all the good stuff we watch is written by the awesome writers down in the U.S., so I hope they get what is rightfully theirs. Yes, I agree with you, Corey, and thanks for following up with your email. I think you might be surprised to hear what our guests had to say now that I've phrased the question a little differently. As always, anybody listening can also contact me by sending me an email at info@strikechronicles.com or calling 310-439-8754. Okay, that's about it. Let's move on with today's episode. Now, as many of you know, today I was booked as a background player on a Coca-Cola spot, and in fact, I've been rebooked for that job for a night shoot tomorrow night, and that's really going to screw up my production schedule for releasing the podcast, so be sure to stick with me because I am dedicated to releasing them on a daily basis. Anyway, it was the first time I began working since the strike began in November. When I arrived on set, there was quite a buzz about the rumor going around that the strike would be settled in a couple of weeks. Now, these rumors have surfaced since the DGA and the MPTP reached a tentative agreement last week. When I asked the SAG rep who showed up on the set this morning to check in on our working conditions, she said that she had heard from somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody that, yes, the strike would be settled in 2 weeks. Having said that, when I went on United Hollywood, the unofficial blog for the WGA, I saw a post that literally said, "Yes, we are hearing the same rumors you're hearing. Repeat rumors." If you get your third email and or phone call from the guy who knows somebody, who talked to the woman, who heard from a person who knows people in the know, take a deep breath. By the way, the name I heard linked to this rumor was Mark Cherry. Anyway, United Hollywood's advice is very simple. Ignore the rumors. Keep up the pressure, because it's the pressure that's going to get the WGA, SAG, and anyone else in this town a fair deal. And I wholeheartedly agree. Let's keep pushing. Let's keep marching. Let's keep podcasting. Anyway, okay, with all these rumors flying around, I simply had to ask SAG President Alan Rosenberg when I had the opportunity to interview him on the line. Let's listen to what he had to say. I'm at the Picket Lines with
Alan Rosenberg, president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Alan, how much time do we have?
Oh, I'll give you 2 minutes. Is that enough?
Okay, that's very good. Yeah. Okay, so now I know where to go with this. I want to know...
Three minutes.
Okay. As we're here today, why are we here today?
Well, we're here to show our solidarity with the writers in their strike, and their continuing strike, but it's more than that. It's not just solidarity. We really do feel like this fight is our fight. Our contract expires in June, and we'll be fighting over the same issues the writers are fighting over now. And they arrive at a fair deal, we should be in good shape. So we've really been treating this as our fight, you know, and not only in the execution of it, but in the preparation for it. You know, it was kind of unprecedented. Leading up to negotiations, we met with the writers, we shared information, we shared strategy, we visited sets together, talked to actors, writers, showrunners at the same time, which helped create the solidarity you see here today. It's really been a terrific thing.
Okay. I'm hearing a lot of rumors that the strike may be over in 2 weeks. Have you heard anything about that? Can you comment on that? I understand your position.
Well, I've just heard those rumors as well, and I don't see how that could be possible. I believe the writers are similar to us in that they have to go to their members in order to ratify a contract. I don't know how that happens in 2 weeks. You know, there's a lot of dis-ease now, especially since the DGA deal is out there. People want to go back to work. I think some people are willing to leap at any solution in order to go back to work. It's really important to analyze that deal and see whether it fits us. You know, at first blush, we have real problems, you know, with the Directors Guild deal. I even forget what question you asked me. I hope I'm coming close to answering it.
Okay, here's a question. I started this project because I know that the conglomerates of which we're striking against own the networks, own the flow of the control of news and information. So I'm not really sure how much this SAG message is getting out to the general public. Is there any misconceptions you'd like to clarify about the strike and where SAG stands?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about vertical integration. It's what makes a strike like this almost impossible. How does labor get a fair share? Although I think the writers have done a phenomenal job in using the internet to get their message out there, and so have we. But it has definitely had an impact, and some of the misconceptions that are out there, I think, because of that dynamic are, you know, that the Writers Guild negotiator and the president can't make a deal. And that's one of the big myths that's out there. And you know, we've had either staff or I've been at their negotiations every single day, and the writers are doing everything right. It's the AMPTP that walked away from the table. It's the AMPTP that demanded they take 6 very important proposals off the table, in order to even start talking. And now they've been talking to the DGA about those same issues. So there's a little bit of disingenuousness involved in that on the part of the AMPTP. So that's absolutely a big myth. The other big myth is that this DGA deal is a good deal. You know, we haven't even examined the deal yet, and we don't know. As I said, on first blush, we have real problems with it. The thresholds that they set for jurisdiction are way too high for us. You know, they're bragging about getting jurisdiction. I fear that they've opened up a whole pool of non-union talent that could take the place of development the way it exists now.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, they said if you want to create a show for the internet for a minute that costs $15,000, anything above that will be DGA. DGA has jurisdiction. Anything below that can be done non-union. Same thing, $300,000 for a program. You know, that's a fairly big budget. Anything below that can be shot non-union. $500,000 for a series. So what's to prevent the studios from giving a bunch of college students money to create content for the internet and then cherry-picking the talented pieces, increasing the budgets, and making them actual TV shows? The Screen Actors Guild has been really active. We have over 200 deals in new media. And I think that almost all the work that would be done under those deals would be underneath the thresholds that the DGA has set. The only work that we've covered that's been above that threshold is that show Quarter Life by Ed Zwick and Marshall Hershovitz. I think most of the work would be cutting-edge work, which would fall below those budgets, and that should be union work.
Okay. Here's a question for you, and then because I know we're coming up on our third minute. Legacy notwithstanding, technology standalone, what is the more powerful invention, the printing press or the internet?
Wow. That's a
priority now.
Give me the precede of that again. What'd you say?
Legacy notwithstanding, you can't say the printing press because it was first. Just right, printing press for a good reason.
I think it's got to be the internet. I hate to say that. I'm a Luddite, and I'm not. But,
are you now?
Well, a little bit, not really, but a little. You know, I'm not really up on technology, but just the ability to put out information at a moment's notice, have the entire world privy to it, is an amazing thing. You know, and the printing press, it was a seminal invention. I mean, it gave us the ability to you know, put our words down on paper, whatever we put them down on. But this takes it to a whole other level. This really turbocharges the whole ability we as a society have to communicate.
Okay. Anything you want to say as we wrap this up? Any parting shots?
No, it's just great to be out here. It's very moving to see the solidarity that exists between the writers and the actors. And people should keep their eye on the issues and not jump at any solution just because they're anxious to get back to work. This is a tough fight, and you got to see it out to the end.
Key issues we should keep an eye on, which ones?
New media, fair percentage for our work in new media. DVDs, still getting a fair percentage in DVDs, and forced endorsements or product integration, where they're now putting commercials in the middle of TV shows and movies, which our members aren't getting compensated for. I mean, that's a big issue for us as well.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
That was SAG President Alan Rosenberg at the WGA SAG Unity picketing event in front of Fox Studios. Coming up is wonderful and vibrant Valerie Harper, who's on the board of directors for SAG.
I did ask
go work.
Let's just get out of the...
There you go. Hey, I'm at the strike lines with...
Valerie Harper, proud SAG member and very proud supporter of the WGA.
So that's why we're here today, right?
Absolutely.
Did you catch the SAG Awards last night? Any comments?
I certainly did. I was thrilled to death. I love our president, Alan Rosenberg. I see a lot of it because I'm on the board of Screen Actors Guild, and I was so proud of a lot of the things that the actors said when they received their awards.
Like what? Because I wasn't able to see
Julie
it.
Julie Christie said, at a time now, we realize that we love our union, at a time where unions are so terribly important. And it's way beyond the Writers Guild of America or Screen Actors Guild. It is union movement across the country. It is what will bring us back from this horrible loss of jobs and this disintegration of the middle class, which is the strength of America. So this particular issue, now's the moment. This is the issue. Jurisdiction in the internet, because that's where technology's going. The writers must have it. They absolutely must. And I think the companies and the studios will come to the table. They're at the table now, but they need to understand the resolve that it exists at Screen Actors Guild. And the issues of WGA are our issues, and in June, let's avert a strike by the actors. Let's get this settled fairly, and then we can come to the table, and the whole industry can get to work again.
Okay, thanks for clarifying those issues. What do you think is the biggest misconception about the strike to Middle America? What do you think they don't understand?
They think of the stars in our union, and they think of the big top writers in the WGA. They don't think of the guys making their mortgages or sending their kids to school or just buying food for the table. They may have a hit show, but then it goes for quite a while before they may hit again. And those are the rank and file writers whose rights must be protected. Also, the big guys that have a great hit series, who knows when that's going to happen again? They might not be today's favorite flavor in a few years, as ageism is quite terrible, even in the Writers Guild. I understand it in the Actors Union, but for writers to suffer ageism is amazing. But it happens. So that means if someone is making money off your work, you should be compensated in some small way. And that's all the writers are asking. Fair compensation for their works. And there's a famous old saying, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. It is not on television or in film unless somebody wrote it. And then we all come together and then the actors act in it. And it's just a matter of corporate think. You see, the corporations, the studios, the companies, it's not that they're creating jobs so much as they are using labor. And they will use it as cheap as they can, and I understand that. I understand they're businessmen. That's why unions have to stand up and say, no, you cannot use our material and grow rich on it while we get nothing or writers go bankrupt. So it's a real simple issue.
So union is union.
Oh, yeah.
Are you union background? Have you, your family from union?
Yeah, no, not really. My mother was a nurse, and she, in San Francisco some years ago, she's been gone a while now. She walked with the nurses when they were trying to organize. I think unions have been a wonderful support for working America. And I think the disintegration of unions this time around has really been terrible. Started with Reagan and the air traffic controllers, and it's been a disintegration ever since. I saw a great bumper sticker the other day that I'd like to share with your listeners.
Yeah.
It said, unions, the wonderful folks who gave us the weekend. Because there was a time in our country, if people will look at history, where people worked 7 days a week, where children were working, where people were working in sweatshops with terrible, terrible conditions. Union is the way, I think, to go. And SEIU and others are proving that. I have worked a long time with the wonderful departed Cesar Chavez at the Farm Workers Union. And he always talked about a just, safe food supply. And the fact that his workers were getting terrible blisters and cuts and boils on their hands from picking fruit that was fertilized with some leftovers from Tenneco oil, that wasn't good for the consumer. So it's very interesting. If we're fair to the worker, we're doing the best for ourselves as well. So, you know, the businessman will get labor as cheap as they can. And the union stands between the worker and exploitation. And this is a labor dispute. And I think it's going to be settled. And they're not the enemy. They're just looking out for their interest. And they're saying better in our pocket than yours.
Yeah.
And I say no. Yeah. I think the corporate mind has taken over our government. These people are not Republican. I know some good Republicans. I remember them. I'm old enough. They would never have the deficit going through the roof, trillions of dollars. They would never have us in this terrible occupation, which is not a war. And it's time for the Americans, and I think it's happening this election cycle, to take back our country, to demand our Constitution. And the Writers Guild of America is really the tip of the spear. And it's gotten a lot of coverage, and people have to understand that it's a labor struggle, not a bunch of rich, spoiled people in Hollywood wanting to gouge anyone. They just want our fair share.
Well, what do a bunch of artists, a bunch of actors and writers have to say to nurses and garbage workers and transport drivers, all that? What do they have to say to them?
We want you to have your fair pay and your health care and what you need to feed your families. That's what I feel. You know, this is a labor action. That's specifically what it is. There's no two ways about it. And these are workers in a field that is our number one export. Entertainment content. It is, honestly, if you take the music industry and all entertainment, it is the number one export of the United States of America. And
but look what's happening in the music industry.
Exactly. Everything's in flux, and that's okay. People just have to stand up and be counted. And as you can see today by this massive turnout, Screen Actors Guild is standing staunchly with the Writers Guild of America. You are a SAG member yourself. And I think it was just wonderful that all the actors refused to cross the picket line at the Golden Globes. Same thing's going to happen at the Oscars. I would suggest that not the producers so much, but the companies and the studios quickly make a fair deal. And then we can avert a strike in June with yours and my union.
Okay. Call to action for fans. Do you have anything to say to the fans?
Yes, you could write letters. Say, studios, be fair. We love their stories. We don't want just reality. We want stories. We want our favorite shows back. Now, be fair. Come to the table. We haven't started any boycotts, but that's around the corner if things aren't, you know. I mean, that's always a possibility. Right now, we're just hoping that these talks that are going on now will be fruitful. I think that the studios and companies said, we'll be willing to let this season go. It's a lot of money,
yeah.
But the billions, the untold tens of hundreds of billions that we will garner from not having to share with the writers and then the actors, which is really quite small when you think about it. I think one guy's salary was the same that they'd have to pay, something like $20 million or whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know the data better than I. I think they took a gamble, but they did not count on the incredible solidarity of the Writers Guild of America with the fabulous leadership of Patrick Verone and with our president, Alan Rosenberg, and our wonderful new National Executive Director, Doug Allen, who comes to us from the Football Players Union.
Yeah.
And they are just very clear and fair. We are not gouging anyone, but we need to have, if our faces and our words and our stories are being, you know, endless remuneration, we should have a share in it.
Any message you want to say to the head of IATSE? All right, let's move on.
Tom Short?
Yeah.
Get it together, Tom. God bless the Teamsters.
God bless the Teamsters.
You know, and AFTRA has been completely invisible during this entire thing. And we're having our own issues right now with AFTRA in that we want fair representation at the negotiating table. And what's happened there is for years, AFTRA has had 13 seats and SAG has had 13 seats, 26 members at a negotiating table. But the contract, we're 90% of the contract. Yeah, so what's been happening is the will of the Hollywood worker, the actor who depends on residuals so desperately, they get voted down. At the very least, there would be a 50-50 stalemate.
Yeah.
And they've been undercutting our contracts all over the place.
So
and most of us, I belong to AFTRA.
Yeah.
So here they say, you want Valerie Harper? Pay her $200 instead of $700. Yeah. SAG is $700. We pay $200. Come on, we'll make a deal with you, producers. So it's the worst kind of undercutting and really conduct unbecoming a so-called sister union. So now that suddenly there's a referendum being sent out to all the membership, the dual card holders, to find out who do you want to represent you, Screen Actors Guild or AFTRA. And I think people will absolutely, actors, will vote in their own behalf. Why wouldn't they want to make for the same role? If a show goes AFTRA, their residuals are gone. They're working for one maybe fraction of what they would have been paid under SAG. It's a ridiculous thing. So this referendum's going out, and I hope you let actors know that this is a very important vote, and it's coming in the next few weeks.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Two more questions.
Sure.
As a tool of democracy, what is a more powerful invention? Legacy notwithstanding, standalone technology, what is a more powerful invention, the internet or the printing press?
Oh, my God. Well, you're talking about a continuum.
Yes.
You're talking about a continuum of delivering the message.
Yes.
So is the medium the message.
Wow, wow. Yeah, you know, Bucky Fuller said, you know, as technology world, Buckminster Fuller, the great American philosopher, inventor, saint extraordinaire, everyone should read him. He used to say, as we move forward with the technology, the rapidity of the development of it is going to increase and increase, and it's almost got a snowball effect.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll come faster and more. But when the printing press came in, I mean, that changed everything. Here's what happened with the Writers Guild. Back to the issue at hand. Every time new media has come in, they've kind of been cut out.
Yes.
And actors were too.
Yes.
With DVD, we've been suffering under a cassette definition.
Yes.
A cassette cost, what, $1 to make? A DVD cost 7 cents. Where did that interim money go?
Right
to the companies. That's why they're fighting so hard on this internet thing. They want to have it. But you know, it's interesting. You asked about the technology. Because of the internet and YouTube and your blogs and all the stuff that's going on, we have those leaders of studios and companies saying to their shareholders and stock, we're going to make billions. You have no idea. You know, buy stock in us because we're going to be so rich. And then they tell the actors and writers, we don't know what the internet is.
Yeah.
No. We have photographs. We have film. Yeah. We have actual record of them saying this. And it's all over the internet. So that's been great. And it certainly has been a way of solidifying the strike and getting people the information, getting participation, and getting the country, the people who aren't in Hollywood, to say, no, gosh, it isn't spoiled actors and overpaid writers. Not at all. This is a labor issue, and it is a fair issue, and let's get the whole town back. I'm so upset about all the people that, this is a company town, yes. So there's drivers and there's, yes. You know, caterers.
And, massage therapist.
Oh, my God. Yes. There's people spending, yeah, that were hairdressers. Everything. Every area that it touches making film. That's why when there was a terrible situation in 9/11, Rudy Giuliani said, you know, come to Broadway. Broadway's stationary.
Oh, okay.
So are the studios.
Okay.
Now, that's why runaway production has been such a bad thing for our industry. However, there's an awful lot still going on here, and it is a company town, and I really feel terrible about all the people that aren't directly involved. But in the long run, the writers had to do this. There was no turning back, and their doing it will maybe make it much easier for Screen Actors Guild, and we won't have to shut the town down. But we will. We will if we don't get the proper definition on this internet. We have jurisdiction, if you understand the...
Yes, I do.
We have the jurisdiction. Our toes in the door. They don't have jurisdiction.
Yes.
That's what this is about, getting jurisdiction within the internet.
Okay, so as a tool of expression and a tool of democracy, internet or printing press?
Geez, it's very hard. It's real hard to say. I suppose because time has gone by, you stand on the shoulders of those technologies, those people. You hope that the human race is evolving and getting better, but certainly the internet is just a miracle. And the communication possibility of it, the exploitation of it too, there's terrible things that go with it. And
yeah.
But I think that you'd have to say that in this day and age, but we could not have gotten to the internet without the printing
press.
That's
why legacy notwithstanding.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
the legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, parting shots as we wrap this up.
Yes, I just love the companies and the studios to do the right thing. Be good businessmen. But there's a great quote, and I don't mean it as a bad thing, and it'll sound, what's the word? It'll sound denigrating. Whenever you get a group of businessmen together conferring, it is usually to defraud the marketplace. And
monopoly?
Well, whatever. You know, it's just called, how do we get this done and make the biggest profit? That's what they're about. And so this idea of, oh, we're creating jobs. No, you're not. You're using labor as cheaply as you can get it to make a profit. So the price is one thing. Nike took all are the shoes cheaper? No. They're having laborers and child kids and who knows what else.
Yeah.
Those Chinese laborers or whoever they are working in those factories, and yes, they're selling them here, but the price isn't any cheaper.
Yeah.
So their profit margin is bigger, and their shareholders like it. But what's happening to American workers? What's happening to the middle class? See, I'm old enough. I came up in it.
Yeah.
So my parting shot would be, let's get back to work. For God's sake, we want to write. We want to act. You want the product. The audience wants the shows. Let's be mentionkite. That means men. Let's people, human beings, women. Let's stand up, you know, make sure our ovaries and whatever else are in place and take a stand and do it. Get it done. Get it done. Let's not waste any more time. Let's make a deal.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. Thank you.
Good, honey.
That was Valerie Harper at the WGA Unity Picketing event in front of Fox Studios. We're going to wrap up today's episode with a series of speeches given by Alan Rosenberg, Zachary Quinto from Heroes, Susanna Grant, who's on the negotiating committee for the WGA, Susan Savage from SAG, who organized the rally, actor Larry Miller, and Anne-Marie Johnson, Vice President of SAG.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the WGA Screen Actors Guild Unity Rally. Although, since the strike began, I think it's been pretty much a beautiful show of solidarity, and I tell you, As I walk around today, I feel the same sense of commitment, same energy, the same beautiful solidarity I sensed 2.5 months ago when I spoke over on Galaxy Avenue over there, and it's a beautiful thing to behold. Thank you. And thank you for our staff and our members of the Screen Actors Guild, the Writers Guild, who organized this event. And although the energy and the solidarity is palpable here on the line today, I'll expect no less. I urge you all to spread it out to the membership at large. Let your leadership know that you have the utmost faith in them. You're doing a phenomenal job. I'll say it again. The attempts to demonize the leaderships of our unions is just that, is demonization. We have been in negotiations every day, at least until the last 2 weeks, and your leadership is doing a phenomenal job. It was my pleasure to honor Patrick Rohn last night at the Screen Actors Guild Award in a show of solidarity that I promise you will last until this strike ends. There's a little disingenuous not to call attention to the fact that this is a tough time in these negotiations. Much like when sadness becomes depression during the Christmas season, at this time, award season, when we're supposed to be celebrating the fine work that our members produce, we are out of work. We are striking. And so it's all bittersweet. But I'm telling you, the issues that brought us out here are the same now as they were when this strike started. I know you all know this, but I just want to repeat a fact for you. Our failure to get improvement on our DVD formula since 1984 has cost writers and directors $1.5 billion, actors $4.5 billion. That represents hundreds of millions of dollars of contributions into our pension and health funds. We cannot afford to let that happen in new media. Actors are suffering, writers are suffering. We must stand strong. There's a real possibility that we might go the entire life of the DVD without ever having an improvement upon the pathetic residuals formula we all signed on to over 20 years ago. We cannot let that happen again in new media. There's a deal on the table, and that adds to everybody's uncertainty. The DGA, we haven't really seen the deal, but we read the bullet points. And I'm telling you, if that deal is predicated on the fact that this is not the watershed moment, if it's predicated on the fact that we can wait 3 years in order to get our hands on the money that's going to be generated by our work in new media, I'm sticking with the Writers Guild. Yeah. Times aren't easy. It's a time of great sacrifice for us all. It's a serious time. It's not only serious in the way that people are suffering, but our proposals are serious. We know what we're talking about. We're not frivolous. All the time I hear from actors in my office, high-profile actors who starred their own TV series, their own movies, saying, I got to get out of the business. I'm having trouble keeping my head above water. This is a direct result of three things: runaway production, reality TV, but most importantly, our failure to get improvement in our residuals formulas, in DVDs, in basic cable television, and we are not going to let it happen again in new media. What your leadership is asking is fair. The deal with United Artists proves that it is fair. The deal with Lionsgate proves that it is fair. The deal with Worldwide Pants proves that it is fair. Their interim agreement with the Screen Actors Guild for our award show last night proves that they are reasonable and fair. Please stand behind them. Please stay strong. Please rely on the solidarity that we've shown. You have our support. We'll be counting on your support come June when our contract expires. Shoulder to shoulder all the way. I have always loved writers, but now I'm ready to commit. Actors and writers all the way. We will not be defeated. God bless you all. And now, I would like to introduce one of the stars of the show Heroes. I'm thrilled that you're here today, Mr. Zach Quinto. Thank you very much, Zach.
Thanks for being here. It's a pleasure to be here. I would just simply like to say that it's an honor to be in the company of the group of people who are responsible for giving me a voice in this industry, and I feel really proud to lend that voice to the cause that you're all here and have been here to support and fight for. It's been 13 weeks of work stoppage, but 13 weeks of solidarity, 13 weeks of unity, This is my first time on the line, so I serve to represent the fact that it's never too late. The fight that the writers are fighting now is going to be our fight in 5 months, and it's important that we all lend our voices, our intelligence, our awareness, and whatever involvement we can muster to make sure that it gets resolved. So it's a great thing that the talks are back on track, at least shaping up that way, and it's great to see so many faces and voices here representing that today. So I'm glad to be one of them. I'd like to hand the mic over to somebody who knows a lot more about what's going on than I do and can share some of that with you. Susanna Grant, who's on the negotiating committee.
Hi there. Wow, it is fantastic to see so many of you here today. I know that this feels like it's been going on a long time, and it's really hard every day to wake up, put on your running shoes, and go out and walk for 3 or 4 hours, lately in the rain. And the thought might occur to you every now and then, is this really doing any good, my walking back and forth here? And I want to assure you that it absolutely is. You know, one of the many things David Young has taught me during this whole process is that the side that wins in a strike is the side that's willing to stay out one day longer, and that is us. And when the CEOs drive through these gates every day and see all of you out there walking, they understand that we are willing to stay out there, and that translates directly into our getting a better deal and a fair deal. So thank you so much for coming out every day, walking, you know, just keeping your spirits up, staying connected to other members. It really makes all the difference in the world, and you're going to see the effects of it. I know you all have a lot of questions maybe and concerns you want to share with the negotiating committee and the leadership, and I am be glad to answer those and receive those. I don't want to do it this way. So what I'm going to do is park myself right over here. And if you have anything you want to ask or anything you want to share with me, I will stay here and listen to anything anyone has to say. But thanks again. It really does more good than you can possibly realize for you all to be out here every day. And thank you, SAG, for showing up so strongly.
Hello, I just want to bring up one of our board members, Susan Savage, from the Screen Actors Guild. She helped organize this rally, and I know she wants to thank her counterparts from the Writers Guild. So, Susan Savage. Thanks, Susan.
Hi. I got a little bit of bronchitis, I think, from the stress of helping to organize this, but it couldn't have been done. This is a perfect example of what can be done when writers and actors work together. And we couldn't have done this if it wasn't for my committee of the Women's Committee of the Screen Actors Guild and the Women's Committee of the WGA, with the help of Kat Smith, Kim Hoffman, Kimberly Myers, all from the WGA. And thanks to all of you for showing up today. For you actors and writers, we're in this together. We're in this for the long haul. And now I'd like to introduce, Kim, did you want to introduce? I would like to introduce one of our own, Larry Miller.
Thanks, Susan. First of all, as you may have just noticed, the actors from the Screen Actors Guild can step right up onto this high stage, but the writers need the curb. I am proud to mention that. Similarly, until SAG came here, I've been out at Radford every day. When I got back in November, my wife has been out on locations and climbing trees every day, but when the van pulled up and I got my Writers Guild t-shirt, because I'm a writer as well as an actor, they were all double and triple XLs. Now that SAG is here, everyone's built like Christian Bale. They actually said, yeah, take a shirt. I said, you have a double XL. They looked at me as if I just said, you have one for a cow. Everyone know we have smalls, we have mediums, really. That's the kind of unity we're looking for, that now together we have one normal physical person. I'm so proud of Alan. The last time we saw each other, we were, what's the word? Junk, that's right. It was at a benefit, it was for a good cause, and then we were...
Drunk,
yes. But I'm so proud of him because he and Patrick got together, as you know, and started having lunch and started talking about the future and where the world's going to move. I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud to have the two T-shirts, and I'm very proud, but I mean what they mean. I'm proud to be here today, and you know what? As you do know, because you're here, this is what it is, and it'll be, it'll take as long as it takes. Thank you, and see you around.
I'm wearing an extra small, damn it. Well, thank you, everyone who spoke. Thank you, WGA. Thank you so much for fighting the good fight. Thank you, every Screen Actors Guild member out here, for helping them fight the good fight. Thank you to the staff of the WGA and the staff of the Screen Actors Guild for helping us fight the good fight. Get back out there and fight the good fight, folks. Have a safe travel back to wherever you are, and keep marching. Keep marching. And, oh, I'm being told to march east. March east. East. Good luck, everyone. Kick ass.
You have been listening to the Writer Strike Chronicle podcast, available for free through iTunes. For more information, visit us at www.strikechronicles.com. To contact us, please call 310-439-8754 or send us an email at info@strikechronicles.com.